Turn with me, please, to Psalm 106. Psalm 106. I'm going to read the first 7 verses and then just pick up right at the end of the psalm. Psalm 106 from verse 1. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can declare all his praise? Blessed are those who keep justice, and he who does righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour you have toward your people. O visit me with your salvation, that I may see the benefit of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies, but rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. And then right at the end of the psalm, from verse 44, nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry, and for their sake he remembered his covenant and relented according to the multitude of his mercies. He also made them to be pitied by all those who carried them away captive. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the Gentiles to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Blessed be your name, O Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. We thank you for the multitude of your mercies, for the glories of your goodness. We thank you for the offer of the gospel and for the prospect of knowing its blessings in Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Do you know what it's like to be left outside? Maybe you're caught out in a storm like the one that swept across us last night after the heat broke. And someone is inside and they're warm and they're sheltered. And you're out there dripping wet in the driving rain. Maybe it's even worse in winter when perhaps you can see them and they're, you know, snuggled up in their blankets and they're sitting by the fire with their feet stretched out in their slippers. And you're thinking, I just wish that I could be in there with a hot drink and a warm fire and a big fluffy blanket. Maybe you're hungry and you can see people in the restaurant, depending on your appetite. It's like, you know, oh, if only I could get a McDonald's. Or maybe you're looking in through some fine dining and there are people inside and they're enjoying food. And you're outside with your stomach feeling pinched with hunger. Perhaps there are people at school and you think, well, I wish I could be part of that group. They always seem to be having so much fun together. I wish that I could feel like I belong to someone the way that they belong. Or there's a meeting at work and you know that inside the good stuff's being worked out and you haven't been invited. You're not a part of that. You know it's going on. You can see and perhaps hear some of it. Or there's a garden party and you weren't invited. You talked to friends and everybody else got an invitation from this big cheese in the area. And they're all dressing up and they're all going in, but you are left on the outside. And you might be able to push your face against the railings and you can see the big stand that's been set up. You might be able to smell some of the food that is cooking and you can see other people being welcomed and entering in. And yet you are left outside, inside of the favoured people, inside of the happy people, inside of the ones who are enjoying those good things. and you are outside. What do you at least feel? What might you even say? Let me in. Let me in. Let me participate in those good things with you. Now, if we're perfectly honest, a lot of those desires that we have when we see other people getting that, enjoying that, receiving that, are frankly petty and pathetic. We often have very elevated ideas of what someone else has got simply because we haven't got it. But what if it were a right desire? What if it were a proper appetite? What if you are being swept away in the storm and inside there's warmth and there's comfort and there's peace? What if outside your stomach is pinched with hunger and inside there are people who are feasting on good things? What if outside you're exposed, you're isolated, you're alone, you're endangered, and inside there's love, there's affection, there's protection, there is delight? You're in the darkness and there's light in there. You experience misery, but there's joy in there. You are subject to death, but there's life in there. Out here, loss. In there, gain. Under such circumstances, who would not say, "Let me in. I want to enjoy those things too. Give me those favours. Show me that kindness." And that is essentially what we have here in Psalm 106. The bulk of the psalm is actually confession, from verse 6 through to verse 46. It begins with that statement, "We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly." The psalmist is saying that me and my generation, we are no better than those who have gone before. We have done what they have done. We've seen the same blessings and we've turned our backs upon them. We've had the same privileges and we haven't particularly esteemed them. God was ready to be God to us and we often neglected or rejected what God had done. But woven into that again and again, and it starts at the very first verse, "Praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever." And every time he brings up the sin and the misery of God's people, he sets against it the goodness and the mercy of the God who heard their cries when they called upon him. And he now raises his earnest cries, and he sets it right at the front. Verse 4, "Remember me, O Lord, with the favour you have toward your people. O visit me with your salvation, that I may see the benefit of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance." Boil it down. What's he saying? Let me in. Let me in. Why? First of all, because of the blessings of salvation pictured. The benefit of God's chosen ones, the rejoicing in the gladness of God's nation, and glory with God's inheritance. That's what he can see, if you like, through the fence. That's what he's looking at through the window. That's what's warm and joyful and pleasant and delightful inside. The benefit of God's chosen ones. The true prosperity for every person upon whom God has set his love in Christ Jesus. The deep and true and sweet and real joy of the souls of those whom God has been pleased to save. To be chosen in the Beloved One, chosen in the Son of God from before the foundation of the world, and therefore to have good poured out upon you as one who has now in time heard that good news and has been called to God through Jesus Christ. The benefit, the real blessing, the true delight, the prosperity of heart and of life of those who belong to God's chosen people. That's what he's smelling. That's what's coming to him on the breeze. That's the sound he can hear inside. And the gladness of God's nation. Here is the true pleasure of being among God's people. This is the delight of having Jesus Christ as your King. This is the language that so often comes up in the Psalms. And you think of the King who will come in David's line. And you think of the way that they lift up the excellencies of his reign. And how he will conquer. And how he will rule. And how he will bless. And how he will protect. Under his wing is peace. In his presence is fullness of joy forevermore. To know his reign is to be safe and secure. To have him as your sovereign is to march at his command and to do whatever he tells you to do, confident that he will equip you, he will sustain you. It is to be in his care, under his rule and defense. To have God as our God and our sovereign. To mean then that his person is among us and over us. To delight in Jesus Christ as King, making known the God of all the earth. To enjoy the promises that he has made, that he will be our God, that we shall be his people, that he will never leave us or forsake us, that he will ever be that great shepherd of the sheep to us. And all the pleasures then that belong to the sheep. Not just that he will call us and rule us and defend us, but having saved us, he will bless us. He will shower his good things upon us. The monarchs of Scripture demonstrated their real nobility by the magnitude of the gifts that they bestowed. No king would ever shame himself by dribbling out a few nice things. Do you ever look at what Solomon and Bathsheba gave to one another when they met? You think, my eyes. I mean, they're throwing kingdoms at each other almost. There's gold and there's jewels and there's animals and there's spices. What are they doing? They're acting like royalty. And it would be an embarrassment and a shame to them for a king or a queen to act as anything but a king or a queen. That's the gladness of the King's people. That's the gladness of God's nation. That he dispenses his gifts on a divinely regal scale. And that's what this man can see inside. That's what drifts to him on the breeze. That's what he hears in terms of pleasure and gladness. And you can also see then the inheritance of God. And he recognizes the privilege of God's inheritance. The true privilege of being God's purchased possession. It's that sweet covenantal language. I am his and he is mine. These are my people. I have called them by their name. They are mine. And he knows, as we could know, that there is this purchase of Christ, that he has shed his blood to have a people for himself. And you know the kind of language that is used. God's own peculiar people, not God's weird people, but God's distinct people, the ones that he has chosen out for himself. His own special treasure, the apple of his eye. You do those blinking competitions. Some of you have been doing that at school recently, and you come home and say, "Hey, Dad, I can outstare you." And if it gets really tight, what do? You just flick at something, and almost everybody blinks. Why? Because you almost touched the apple of my eye, and that's where my instinctive defences come in. The apple of the eye is your most sensitive spot. If you are God's inheritance, you are his most sensitive spot. He's not going to let anybody come near you. He's not going to let anybody trample upon you. You are his delight. Here then is a picture of the excellence of belonging to God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who sits enthroned on high, the divine majesty himself. There is benefit for his chosen ones. There is gladness in his nation. To be his inheritance, to belong to him and to be able to say, he is my father, I am his child. Christ is mine and I am his. I belong indeed, now and always, body and soul, time and eternity, to this God. And I can see it through the fence. I can smell it on the breeze. And I can hear it echoing across the field. And that's not enough. And that's not what this man wants. He doesn't want to sit there like the kid who knows that the carnival or the fair is on the other side of the fence, and he's managed to get his eyes just over the top and he can see it all going on, but he hasn't got any money to get in. Or the football fans that you see like boring holes in the old fences. Or the people that everybody envies because they've got a balcony overlooking one of the international cricket grounds and they can sit there on the... No, he says, I don't want to be at a distance. You see, what he asks for, what he's after, is not just the blessings of salvation pictured from a distance, but the blessings of salvation enjoyed. This is what is happening inside. And he is looking in at this point. And he can observe the benefit and the gladness and the privilege. He knows on one level what he's talking about, but he doesn't know it yet for himself. He can hear that good. He can understand something of it. And he knows that he can grasp it in measure. But he says, I want to see the benefit of your chosen ones. And that's the language that you find in John 3 and verse 3. Where Christ says, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And it's the language of entering in. It's the language of participation. It's not gazing through the fence. It's not looking through binoculars. It's not gazing through the telescope. It's being right there and entering in fully. And this is what this man desires. Lord, give me an experience of the benefit. I don't just want to smell it at a distance and see it over there and hear other people enjoying it. Let me see it. Let it be part of my life. Let me enter in to the joy of these things. I want to rejoice in the gladness of your nation. I don't just want to know that there is gladness. I want joy in the gladness. I want to rejoice in those joys. I want to know and feel those delights that those people have. They're the ones who were born in Zion. I want to belong to them. They're the ones who are in the nation of the king. I want to be a part of that people because I want that king to be my king, my sovereign. There is all sweetness. There is all happiness. I want to rejoice in their joy. I want it for myself. It's a bit like going past the... Some of you won't remember this, but on Haslett Avenue, there used to be a big bread factory. You'd be able to drive past it. Some of you, if you live in a village and there's a baker or something and they do their own baking, oh boy, you know there's some good stuff going on the other side of that wall. The other side of that. What do you want? What does the smell do to you? I want a taste. I want to bite through that nice golden crust. I want to get my teeth into the bread. I want to get that into my stomach. I want to enjoy all the senses. I want to do that, says the man. I can smell these things, but I want to taste. I want to rejoice in the gladness of your salvation. And I want to glory with your inheritance. They're praising you. They're delighting in your favor. They're boasting in their God. Notice that this glorying, this boasting isn't, look what I have got. It is, look at this God who has given it to me. Look at the, not even so much look at what he's given, but look who's given it. This is why it's so sweet. It's your inheritance. It's your nation. We're your chosen ones. I want to enter into their thankful praise. I want to be able to sing what they sing and praise as they praise and rejoice as they rejoice. I want to sing aloud with the saints because God is mine as he is theirs. This man, by grace, has come to relish these things. He started to understand what he doesn't have and what God's people do have. And he doesn't want it to be a merely notional idea. There are a lot of people in a lot of churches, even like this, who can accurately describe God's good things. They can list out the goodnesses of God himself. But they don't necessarily know him. And they don't necessarily experience them. They can tell you that God's chosen ones enjoy certain benefits. They might even be able to explain some of the gladnesses of God's nation. They can very plainly teach that God's inheritance enjoy particular privileges. But it's not just that knowledge. It's the knowledge of experience. It's the seeing. It's the rejoicing. It's the glorying. Not outside. Not on the fringes. Not among, but not part of. Fully present and freely participating. Perhaps you've gone to some of those gatherings. You may even have been the person at those gatherings. Yeah, flip it a little bit. You go amongst people and no one else is a believer there. Now, maybe it's a work do. And yeah, it's quite proper and normal that you should be there. And you walk in and you take your glass and you get your little buffet thing, plate that you attach to it. And you load it up with your sausage rolls and your vol-au-vents and you're there. But it's not you. And you can do the chit-chat, but you're not a part of this. You don't belong. This man is saying, I want to belong. I want to be there and a part of these things and to enter in fully. I want the divine glory and goodness to be my portion now. And so the blessings of salvation are desired. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour you have toward your people. Oh, visit me with your salvation, that I may see. You see, that's what I want. I want to see the salvation, the benefit of your chosen ones. I want to rejoice in the gladness of your nation. I want to glory with your inheritance. What is needful that I may enter into these things? That you, O Lord, remember me with the favour you have toward your people. That you visit me with your salvation. It's a beautiful prayer. Remember me. Oh Lord, keep me in mind. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the God of all the earth, merciful and mighty. And he says, oh Lord, keep me in mind. Pay attention to my needs. When you're dispensing blessings on others, give them to me too. When you pour out your unmerited kindness, your undeserved goodnesses, let me be favoured together with others. Let me in. Do you remember the thief on the cross? What did he say? No idea whether or not he'd been brought up to know some of these synagogue readings. Maybe he knew and remembered these words. Maybe in God's kindness, he simply entered into the spirit of them. Remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom. It's no different, is it? Let me in. Not because I'm worthy. He says that to his friend on the other side of the Lord, doesn't he? We deserve this. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. But, O King, when you come into your kingdom, remember me, that I may see the benefit of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. Oh, visit me with your salvation. When you stoop down in mercy, when you draw near to deliver men from sin and death and hell, O God, would you come to my aid? Would you blot out my transgressions? Would you take away my iniquities? Would you wash me clean of my sins? Would you clothe me in acceptable righteousness? Would you bring me in to your presence? Might I sit at the feast? May I taste and see that the Lord is good? Let your salvation, O God, that salvation which comes from you and which you alone bestow, those blessings which you alone can work, those favours which you alone can provide, let that be my happy portion. O God, let me in, that I may see the benefit of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers. We've committed iniquity. We've done wickedly. Now, how does he go from that to that? Because the fact that he makes that his plea and then that his confession, that's bold, isn't it? Lord, let me in. I deserve to stay out. Lord, bring me near, though you might with justice cast me away. Lord, I deserve your wrath and your curse. I ask for your mercy and your blessing. On what possible basis can a sinner like him come to a God like this for favours of such a kind? Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can declare all his praise? Blessed are those who keep justice and he who does righteousness at all times. So remember me, O Lord, with the favour you have toward your people, or visit me with your salvation. Why? Because you are a good God. Not because I'm a good man. Oh no, Lord, I'm the sinner. I've committed iniquity, I have done wickedly, but you are good. My sins would keep me out. It is your mercy that must bring me in. So when you show mercy, show it to me. When you bestow salvation, bestow it on me. Because you are God, and there is none like you. You are good with divine goodness. You are merciful with divine mercy. You are mighty with divine might. And this is all my confidence. And so I say to everybody here this morning, there is no need to be shut out. There is no reason why you should be left outside. And it's not about you dressing yourself up or tidying yourself up or trying to work yourself out, get yourself into a state where you can claim some right to come in. You have sinned with your fathers. You have committed iniquity. You have done wickedly. But if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. You can come as a sinner to God by Jesus Christ. And you can say, because of the goodness that you've shown in him, because of the mercy that is displayed in him, because of the might that is revealed in your Son, and for his sake, let me in. I don't deserve to be in. I'm not entitled to be in. I can't demand to be in. But remember me. Visit me. Let me be blessed with the blessed. Let me rejoice with the rejoicing. Let me glory with those who are your inheritance. You see, you're not claiming your merit. You're pleading his righteousness. You're not trying to cover your sin. It's all right, I'm one of the good guys. No, you come as a sinner to Jesus Christ. I'm one of the bad guys. I'm the worst man, woman that I know. My heart's so full of sin. My life's so full of wretchedness. My transgressions more than I can count. My sins like a mountain. Oh God, swallow them up in the depths of the sea of your mercy. Wash me clean in the blood of Jesus Christ. And bring me to you. That I may be blessed with those you've chosen. That I may rejoice with those who have such a king. And that I may boast that I am God's because of his grace. Will you do that now? If you've not done it before, do you have any sense? I'm not saying you need to understand it all. You just need to understand enough to know that God is there with all the blessing and favour that he bestows upon his beloved people, and that you may have it by Christ Jesus, and that you can come to God, and if you don't know anything else to say, you can simply say, "Let me in." If you want to say, "Remember me with the favour that you have towards your people," then pray that. If you want to ask him, "Oh God, visit me. Stoop down to me and show me your salvation now," you can pray it in that language. You don't need to open your mouth. You simply need to open your heart, or to have your heart opened. Because if you're beginning to yearn, it's because God has given you a nose to smell his blessings on the breeze. If you're beginning to desire, it's because God has enabled you to see the favour that he holds out to sinners in Christ Jesus. If your taste buds are being tantalised, if your ears hear something of the songs of Zion floating across to you, it's because God is at work. And now you need to ask him, "Let me in, bring me home, shower your mercies upon me." Let me speak a very brief word to God's people. Don't you want to go further in? Don't you want to know more? Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that you have toward your people. Visit me with your salvation. Let me in and let me further in. Draw me closer. Lift me higher. Bless me more deeply. Show me more of the benefit of your chosen ones. Let me rejoice in the gladness of your chosen nation. Teach me to glory with your inheritance. And if, Christian brother and sister, you've lost your taste for this, if you've slidden back, if you've dropped off to the fringes, if you feel like you're in the party, but not really in the party, if you can see God's people rejoicing, if you see them growing in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, if you hear the joy and a testimony of salvation, and you're saying, "I don't know that much. I've drifted away." They're God's chosen people. This is the divine nation. These are God's inheritance. And I feel like I'm outside. Remember me, O Lord. Visit me. Don't leave me on the fringes. Don't leave me looking in from a distance. Let me in. Bring me back. Draw me near. Bless me indeed. That I may see the benefit of your chosen ones. That I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation. That I may glory with your inheritance. Amen.